The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Pinchas. In the Parsha, Moshe was commanded to count all of the people. And then it's stated, Le'ela techole ko'oretz benachlo b'mispar shemesh. This is in Pinchas Chof Vov Posuk Nun Beis Nun Gimel. That all of these people that you have counted, you should divide the land to them. And then a little further, after that he was commanded to count Shevet Levi. And then on Posuk Samach Gimel, it states, Elu these are all of the countings of Meshe and Elazar HaKohen, which they counted on the plains of Moab, on Yarden Yerechai. This was on Eivar HaYarden, the east bank of the Yarden, before entering Eretz Yisrael. Uve'ele lohoyo ish mipekudei Meshe, bi'aron HaKohen, asher poktos b'nei Yisrael b'midbar Sinoi. They had counted the people at the beginning. This was at the end of the 40 years. And they had previously counted the people at the beginning of the 40 years when they went to Har Sinai. And in this counting, there was no man left that was in the previous counting. Ki Omar Hashem Lahem, Moshe Musa Bamidbor. Because Hashem said that after they received the Torah and they were supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael, was the episode of the Meraglim, of the spies. And they were made Sidibas Horetz, they said Loshon Hora and Eretz Yisrael, and they enticed the people to go back. The people said, let's go back to Egypt. So Hashem said that that generation will die during the course of the 40 years in the desert. Beleinesar mehem ish. And there was not a man left. Ki'im Kolev ben Yefune v'Yeshua ben Nun. With the exception of Kolev and Yeshua. So this was a new generation now. The Gemara, Rashi brings, says, Le'nesa mehem ish. There was not a man left from the countings. Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi was. They were not counted. And they remained because they were not involved in the chet of the Meraglim, in the sin of the Meraglim. And also the women also were not involved in that sin, and therefore the women were left. Vatikravnu b'nei Slofkot, this is in the next posuk, Perichov Zayin posuk Aleph. And the daughters of Slofkot ben Hefer ben Gilod ben Mochir ben Menashe. The daughters of Slofkot, who was Slofkot, was the son of Hefer. Hefer was the son of Gilod. Gilod was the son of Mochir. Mochir was the son of Manasseh. And Manasseh was one of the two sons of Yosef. Yosef had Ephraim and Manasseh. Lemishpach is Manasseh ben Yosef, to the family of Manasseh, the son of Yosef. They came forward. Belish Meis Benosov, and these were their names: Machlo, Noah, Bechoglo, Milka, Vesirso. Bataamona livnei Moshe, and they stood before Moshe, livnei Elazar Akoin, and before Elazar, Akoin, son of Aaron, livnei Anashim, and before the heads of all of the tribes, Becholo Edo, and before the Edo, the congregation, Pesach El Meid Lemor, in front of the Ohel Moed, that was the Mishkan. Avinu meis b'midbor. Our father died in the desert. This is Slofkot. Behu lo hayo b'secho edo hanoadim al Hashem b'adas korach. And he was not amongst the congregation which went up against Hashem from the congregation of Korach. Ki b'chetay meis uvonim lo hayo loy. He died because of his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be lessened from his family? Cain lay bane because he has no son, and therefore he will not inherit. Give to us the inheritance, together with our uncles, together with our father's brothers. Moshe did not know what to answer. So he brought this question for a judgment before Hashem. And Hashem said to Moshe, Cain ben Slofchor Dovres. Yes, what the daughters of Slofchor are saying is true. Nason titen lehem achuza nachlo. Give them an inheritance. Besecha che avihem, together with the brothers of their father. Avartas nachlas avihem lehem. And pass the inheritance of their father to them. Be'al b'nei Yisrael tedaber lemor. And to the children of Israel say, Ish ki yomus uvein ein lei, when a man dies and he has no son, his son inherits first, and if he has no son, va'avartem es nachlosei levitoi, then give the inheritance to the daughter. Now this is a very famous chapter known as the Daughters of Slofchot. Let's go into this a little to see just what was going on. The Sifri tells us in Perekhes, Kiven Shishoma b'nei Slofchot, Shoores mischalekes lishvotim v'leila nekevos. Since the daughters of Slofchot heard in the previous parsha that we're speaking about Chalukas Ores, the division of the land, that the land will be divided to the Shvotim, to the tribes in accordance to the fathers, according to the male lineage, v'leila nekevos, and not to the female lineage. Niskapsu kulon zu al zu litoletsu. So they call the meeting. They call the council meeting. Because their father Slofchod had no sons. Therefore, there were no candidates for his portion in Eretz Yisrael. And his brothers were all waiting on the sidelines to take that portion. So they called an urgent meeting. What's going to happen to the portion of our father? It's not going to continue to any descendants. Instead, it will be absorbed by his brothers and then go on to the brothers' descendants. Omar, lekerach me bosvedom rach me hamokam. And they said that the rachamonos, the compassion of the Almighty, is not like the compassion of people. Human beings, they usually prejudice women. If a case comes before them and there's a man and a woman, so they'll usually favor the man. But he who has said, let there be the world, Enochain, he doesn't prejudice his judgment. Ela ala zochorim ve'ala nekevos rachmo v'alakol. His compassion is equal to both men and women. Shenema teva Hashem lakol v'rachmo v'alakol ma'asov. As it states in the capital of Ashrei in Tehillim, Hashem is good to everyone, and his compassion is on all of his creations. So in other words, they were saying that we have a better chance if we come and challenge the law of the Torah rather than the law of men, because when it comes to the law of men, they will prejudice us. When it comes to the law of the Torah, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's law, then that will be 100% fair. So therefore, they decided to take some action. Now, it states that their father was Slofchot, and excuse me. Yeah, their father was Slofchot, and his father was Hefer, and his father was Gilod, and his father was Mocher, and then Manasseh, all the way up to Yosef. Who was Slofchot? There's a machlekes, a dispute in the sages, if he was a tzaddik or a rosh, a righteous man or not a righteous man. There's one opinion. This is brought in the Gemara, but this is also brought in the Sifri. In the first Sifri I quoted is in Perechov Zayin, excuse me, in Osches. This is in Oschetes. The first opinion says, Lamdecho shoyizakos benos zakai. She called me shemasa v'masa aves of stumin ba'akosim yachso l'shfach. Areza tzadik ben tzadik. Whenever the Torah mentions names and it doesn't tell us anything about them, and then on one of their descendants it says that he was very righteous, this is to tell us they were all righteous. And the same thing in the converse. The Torah mentions a lot of names and doesn't tell us anything about them, and then on one of the descendants it states that he was a rosho, an evil person. This is to tell us they were all evil. So here, the Torah doesn't tell us anything about Hefer, about Slofchor, about Hefer, about Gilod, about Mocher. But it tells us about the Benos Slofchor. And we see the Benos Slofchor must have been very righteous, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kein Benai Slofchor Dovrus. They seem to know the law better than Moshe. Moshe didn't know. And they said yes, and Moshe said, I don't know. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the daughters of Slofchor are right. Hashem agreed with the daughters against Moshe. So they must have been very great and very righteous. So this is to tell us that the daughters of Slofchor were righteous, and the whole chain of ancestry were righteous. That's one opinion. Rav Nosson Eimer, she called tzaddik for tzaddik she godel bechek rosho v'le osa ke masov l'odia kama tzaddik godel she godel bechek rosho v'le osa ke masov. Now, Rav Nosson holds that Slofchot was not a righteous person. The Malbim in his Pirush on the Sifri brings in another place that Rav Nosson holds that Slofchot was from the people. When the Maraglim came back with the report, Slofchot was from those of the nation that said, let's appoint a new king and go back to Egypt, because we can't go into the land to inherit it, it will destroy us. So he wasn't a righteous person. But the Torah is telling us, wants to tell us just how righteous these daughters were. Because someone who is a good person, but descendants of other good people, that's one level. But someone who's a good person and descendants of evil people, that shows that they're even greater. Especially in this case, when their father was from those who said, let's go back to Egypt, and did not want Eretz Yisrael, and here they are coming to challenge the law because they want a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Then it's the Torah tells, it says, they were the daughters of Slofchot, Hefer, Gilad, Mocher, Manasseh. Then it says a second time, the Mishpacha is Manasseh ben Yosef. Why does it say a second time? The ancestry goes back to Manasseh, who Manasseh was one of the two sons of Yosef. The Mishpacha is Manasseh ben Yosef, and the family of Manasseh, the son of Yosef. It should say to Manasseh and to Yosef. So the Sifri says as follows, in Oshud. It's telling us this to show how great their love was for Eretz Yisrael and where it's coming from. Kishem shechivev Yosef as Eretz Yisrael, kach chivevu Benos Slofchot. Just like Yosef had a great love for Eretz Yisrael. How do we know this? Because when Yosef died in Egypt, he made his brothers take an oath upon themselves and upon their descendants, that when you go out, Valis, you shall take out also my remains with you, and take me back and bury me in Eretz Yisrael. So Yosef had a great love for Eretz Yisrael, even though he had so much mazel, good mazel and hatzlocha in Egypt. He became the viceroy, he became a powerful monarch, he became from the wealthiest man in the world. And generally in those situations, he says, look, I have it very good here. But no, he still wanted to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So were these daughters. And this is where they learned it from. But still that doesn't answer. That's why we trace their ancestry back to Yosef. But why does it repeat Mishpachas Menashe? So again, the Malbim explains very well. Yosef had Ephraim and Menashe. Menashe were divided. When Klal Yisrael came into Ever HaYadin, and this is the eastern side of the Jordan, everything that we read about and hear about in Eretz Yisrael today is the western side of the Jordan. This is the other side. And there Moshe had a war with Og Melech HaBoshan and Sichon Melech HaMori, two great kings. He didn't want the war, but they came and they attacked him. And Moshe conquered them. And all of that land fell to them in conquest. So Reuven, the tribe of Reuven and the tribe of Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, half of the tribe of Menashe, came to Moshe and said that this land has an enormous expanse, and it's prairie land, grazing fields, and we have enormous cattle and sheep. Give us this land rather than our portion on the other side of the Jordan. All right, so the whole discussion went, we'll learn about it very soon in the Torah. And Moshe agreed, if you'll come and you'll help conquer Eretz Yisrael with your brethren, then you can have that land. That land became Eretz Yisrael through conquest. It had sanctity as Eretz Yisrael, but it still wasn't Nachlas Oves. It was not the land which was promised to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It wasn't exactly Eretz Yisrael. So we see now, why only half of Menashe? Because the other half didn't want. They didn't want to hear of it. They wanted Eretz Yisrael, actual Eretz Yisrael. They weren't interested in Ever HaYarden, the other side of the Yarden. So half of Menashe followed in the footsteps of Yosef, Shechive Vesoretz, where he had great love for Eretz Yisrael. The other half of Menashe, though, was willing to waive their portion in actual Eretz Yisrael in order to take Ever HaYarden. So that's why that's what the Chazal mean with the Drosho, where it states that they were the son of Menashe, they were the daughters of Menashe, the daughters of Hefer, Gilad, Mochir, who was the son of Menashe. Which Menashe? Mishpeches Menashe ben Yosef. The half of Menashe that followed in Yosef's steps. Yosef Chive Vesoretz, they also. In other words, they were following the half of Menashe that wanted Eretz Yisrael and not Ever HaYarden. Then also, the Medrash Rabbah tells us another reason why the Torah traces all of their ancestry. Because Gedula Lehen or Gedula Laviyem. Gedula Lamacher or Gedula Leyesef. Shekein Yotze Mimeno Noshim Chachomeis Vitzikonyeis. These were very great women. The Gemara is going to tell us. Very wise women. Very righteous. And therefore they became a great fame and nachas for their ancestry. And that's what the Torah is showing here. Further, the Sifri tells us, this is in Tessain, that Ramnosin Omer, Yofa Keach Noshim Mekeach Anoshim. The women's ability and the women's level was greater than that of the men. Anoshim Aimrim Nitno Raish Venoshuvel Bisraim. Let us appoint a new head and we'll go back to Egypt. Noshim Aimres. The women said, Tenulon Achuza Besechache Avinu. No, we want our inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. So we find that here the women were greater than the men. The Medrash Rabbah in Perechof Aleph, Os Yud Aleph, states, let me just find it. Also, Dor Hoy Anoshim Godres Masha Anoshim Polshim. That generation of the desert, we find that the women kept more to the Torah than the men did. For example, Aaron, when it came to the Egel Azov, the golden calf, so he told the men, Pirku Nizme Azov Asher Bozni Nishechem, go to your wives and ask them for all of their gold jewelry and bring it here and we'll make a golden calf from it. And what happened in the end? Leirotzu Anoshim Umichu B'Baleihem. The women would not give up their jewelry under any circumstances, not because, only because they didn't want to give up their jewelry, but because they didn't want to hear of a golden calf. And therefore in the end, Vaisporku Kolomes Nizmezov Beoznehem, they had to take their own jewelry to make the golden calf. They couldn't do it with the women. Vahanoshim Leinishtatfu Imohen B'Maisa Ego. The women were not involved in the golden calf. Now, the two greatest Averis, the two greatest sins that we find by the generation of the desert was the golden calf. And that caused Moshe to break the first tablets. It's for that whole reason that we have Yom Kippur, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us by giving us the second tablets, which was given on Yom Kippur. And then the hate of the Meraglim, the spies that spoke against Eretz Yisrael, that caused their whole generation to die off in the desert and not go into Eretz Yisrael. And ultimately, that is what caused the Beis HaMikdash, the first and the second, to be destroyed on Tisha B'Av. All of that took place on Tisha B'Av and on Golus. So it states, V'chein b'maraglim. And also by the Meraglim, the spies came back and they gave a bad report, an evil report on the land. And the men said, Nit no raish v'nashuv Mitzrayim. If that's the case, let's overthrow Moshe and go back to Egypt. Ma'alehem nigzrok zeiro, she'omru leinu chalales. They said, we cannot go up and conquer. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, therefore you will not go up, but you will die here in the desert. Aval anoshim lo ha'imayim beitza. But the women refused to participate in that whatsoever. And that's why it states, ki oma Hashem lehem ha'ishemusa bamidba ve'leinesar mehem ish, that there was not a man left from that generation besides Yeshua and Kolev. Ish ve'leisho. Men, because they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. But aval anoshim korvu levakish nachleboretz. The women came and they wanted their portion in Israel. Therefore, this is why this portion is written right here. So we find that the portsu mashiportsu anoshim godra anoshim, that in those areas that the men fell, the women rose up. Batamodna lifnei Moshe, lifnei Elozer Akein, lifnei Anesim, v'chol edo pesach ol moed. And they stood up before Moshe, before Elozer Akein, before the Nesim, that these were the princes, the leaders of each Shevet, and between the whole Eder, before the Eder, in the Mishkun. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Perakesh Nochlin, Daf Kuf Yutes Amad Beis, Gemara asked the Kasha, Efshe Omdav Lifnei Moshe, what does it mean they went before, they went, and they asked Moshe, and they asked Elozer, and they asked Nesim. If they asked Moshe and he didn't know, so then they went and asked Elozer. And if they ask the Lozan, he didn't know, then they went to ask the Nesim. If the greatest doesn't know, you don't go to ask someone smaller. Elo Osaris Hamikro Vedosheu. Divrei Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says, now it means differently. First they went to the smallest ones. They went to the small courts. Sorry, Asora. And the small court says that, look, when it comes to dividing Eretz Yisrael, this is not for us. You have to go to greater people. So they went to Sori Meir. They went to a larger court. And the larger court said, this is not for us. Go to a higher court. Until finally they came to the Nesiyot. And then finally they came to Elozer. And finally they came to Moshe. This is what it's meant. That's what Rabbi Yeshua says. Abba Chanan Omer, Mishum Rabbi Elozer. No. Abba Chanan says, no. Bebeis HaMedrash Hayu Yeshvin. Moshe was sitting in the Beis HaMedrash with Elozer and all of the Nesim and the Zakenim, the elders, and they were learning. They were deliberating in different parshas of the Torah, different subjects of the Torah. And they came in. Holchu v'omdu lehem lifnei kulon. And they walked in, they charged in, and they stood before all of them. The Rishbam explains, Sheshoa l'chulim b'yachad. Now, they addressed their question to all of them. Now, this comes into a technical question. They didn't say, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe our teacher, what is the halacha? Now, they addressed their question to all of them, to Moshe, to Lozer, to the Nesim, to all of those that were there. And they gave, by doing this, they gave honor to everyone there. That's why it states, "Vata'amonu lifnei Moshe lifnei Elozer akon," and before all of them. Now the Gemara says that the reason why the other Rabbi Yeshua doesn't want to say this is the way, because he says this you're not allowed to do. Ein cholkin kovod le'talmud b'mokom rabbi. If a Rebbe and Talmidim are sitting together, you don't come and ask a shaila to the Talmidim. You ask it to the Rebbe. And you don't even ask a shaila to all of them. You ask it to the Rebbe. Otherwise you are diverting honor from the Rebbe. That's why Rabbi Yeshua didn't want to learn like this. But Abba Chanan says you can, and the Gemara's conclusion is they did right, because cholkin kovod l'talmud b'mokom harav b'mokom de polig le'rabbe yikora. Where the Rebbe himself honors the Talmidim and gives them great respect, like a chaver, like a colleague, then you are allowed to give honor to a disciple together with the Rav. And Moshe gave great honor to all of, to Elozer, and he gave great honor to the Nesim, and he gave honor to everyone. He treated everyone like a colleague. Therefore, you are allowed, if they're all learning together, you can address your question to all of them. And therefore they did ki hilchaso. The Gemara then also says, Tano, b'nei slofkot chachmoni yesein, they are very wise, darshoni yesein. Darshoni means that they knew how to learn very well, Gemara. In sitkoni yesein, they were very righteous. Now, the proof that they were chachmoni yesein, they were very wise, is from here. Because they could have come in any time. They waited for a particular time to come into the Beis HaMedrash. Lefi Shor Dibru. They waited, you know, when it comes to many, many things, you might be right, but timing is very important. You have to bring up things at a proper time. They had a case. They knew they had a case that they wanted to put forth, and they knew it was not going to be easy. So they knew that they had to bring it up at a proper time. So they waited. They waited till Moshe and his Bezdin were on a subject that it would be very appropriate for they to come, for them to come and bring up their question. What subject was Moshe and his Beis Din learning? The Medrash Rabbah says that they waited until they were learning the subject of Nachla, of inheritance. In other words, not that they were learning another subject that had to do with Pesach or Shabbos, and then they came with this question. They waited till they were learning Nachlas, and then they came with the question. But the Bavli, the Gemara of Vasis is better. They waited until they were learning Yevomis. Now, the din of Yevomis is that if there are two brothers, and one is married and his wife, and he dies, and he has no children, so then his wife has to become married to the other brother. This is the din of Yevomis. It says, "Ubein ein loy," he has no son. The Gemara says it doesn't only mean he has no son, but he has no son or a daughter. But if he has a son or a daughter, then she does not have to get married to the other brother. Because the purpose to get married to the other brother is to continue the name of the dead brother. But since there's a son or a daughter, the name is continued. They waited right for that time. And as Moshe was expounding that halacha, they said, why can we not inherit our father's portion? If it's because we are not sons, we are daughters, and daughters are not considered a continuity of the lineage, so then our mother should have to marry one of the brothers with a din of Yibum, because there's no continuity to the lineage. But you have just said that if there's a daughter, the mother then does not have to marry one of the brothers because daughters are a continuity. So if we are a continuity, then we should inherit just like a son. They waited for exactly that moment. So from there the Gemara says that besides being great learners, they were chachmonious. They knew exactly when to strike. The Rishbam says, b'derech eretz. In other words, this is not Torah, this is Kochma. This is their heritage to know how to deal. Shekimotza Pesach ledivrehem bo ba'alilo betayim al yisrael abezdin. They waited for the opportune time to strengthen their argument. Now they said, "Avinu meis bamidbor." Our father died, and therefore we want inheritance also. The Mishnah, Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. Tells us as follows. From the Mishnah, it is... it is expounded that Eretz Yisrael was divided liyetzi Mitzrayim. That means that everyone who went out of Egypt and he was 20 years old or older when he left Egypt, a portion in Eretz Yisrael was allocated to him. And even if he never reached Eretz Yisrael but died in the desert, his descendants inherited his portion. So that Eretz Yisrael was Nischalku Liyetzi Mitzrayim. It's a machlekes, a dispute in this in the Gemara. But this is how this Mishnah holds. So that's one principle. The Gemara tells us another principle. This is the Gemara and of Kufyut Zayin Amad Beis and Kufyut Ches Amad Beis. The Maraglim Lo Yorshu. The spies, they did not inherit, not for themselves and not for their children. Even though they went out of Egypt and a portion was allocated for them, but because of the gravity of their sin, they lost their portion. So their descendants will not inherit that portion in Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua and Kolov, Choyu, Yeshua and Kolev, they inherited their portions. A third principle, Mishleinim Badas Kerach. Korach and his band, and the Mishleinim, the 250 people that sided with him to try to overthrow the authority of Moshe, because of the gravity of their sin, they also lost their inheritance. Which means that even though a portion was allocated to them because they were from the Yetzi Mitzrayim, they went out of Egypt, but it was lost, and their descendants would not inherit that portion who went into Eretz Yisrael. It was absorbed by the rest of Yisrael, their portions. The descendants of the Meraglim and the descendants of Korach and this whole group, this does not mean that they ended up with no land in Eretz Yisrael, because there are other ways they could have gotten land in Eretz Yisrael. For example, if they too would have gone out of Eretz Yisrael, if a father and a son went out of Egypt, and the son was over 20, then portions were allocated to both of them, see, to the father and to the son independently. Or they could have yashened sometimes a different way, through a mother's side. But the portion that was given to their father, in these cases, they would not have yashened. Now, this is what the Menai Slavkot came and said to Moshe. They said as follows. Avinu Meis Bamidbar. Our father died in the desert. He was from the Yetzer Mitzrayim. He went out of Egypt. And therefore a portion was allocated to him. And he died in the desert. V'hu lo yabesecha edo. Ano adim al Hashem. And he was not amongst that Edo, this refers to the Meraglim. He was not amongst the Meraglim. So therefore, that portion is still his. And also Badas Korach. He was not amongst Korach in his group. So therefore, that his portion is still his. Kibachetei Meis. He died in the desert because of another sin. Ubonim lo hoyuloi. And he had no sons. So now there are no sons to inherit that portion which was allocated to him. And he has brothers, and his brothers want that portion. Now, so this was their, and therefore, Lomi Yugora Shem Avinu Mitek Mishpachta Ikein Labein Tunulon Achuzi B'Seichach Yavinu. Why should our father's inheritance be minimized or be eradicated? Give it to us, because even though there's no son, a daughter should be in place of a son in such a situation. So this was one claim that they put forth. But the Gemara explains that actually they were coming with three claims, not just one claim, but three claims. Secondly, just like Slavkot went out of Egypt, Hefer, his father, also was Miyetzi Mitzrayim. He also went out of Egypt. And therefore, a portion was allocated to not only their father, the daughter's father, but the daughter's grandfather. Now, the grandfather died in the desert, and who should be the legal heirs? The legal heirs would be Slavkot and the brothers, which they were. But now all of this was going to be absorbed by the brothers, because Slavkot had no further heirs. So now they said that just like we're putting in a claim for the portion which was allocated to our father, we are also putting in a claim to the portion which was allocated to our grandfather, at least that amount of that portion that our father inherited. Because both Slavkot independently had his own portion. He was from those that went out of Egypt. And his father, Hefer, was also allocated a portion. And therefore, when Hefer died, Slavkot, together with his brothers, became the heirs. Now Slavkot died, and the brothers wanted to take Slavkot's portion and the portion that he inherited from his father. No, we are the legal heirs, because if Slavkot had sons, the sons would have taken their father's portion, which was allocated to him independently, and the portion of the grandfather, which their father had inherited. So therefore we want that also. So that was the second claim. Now they came with a third claim. They knew what they were doing. They came with a third claim. They said, Slavkot, our father, was a Bechor. He was the firstborn of Hefer. So when it came to the right of Nichse Hefer, the grandfather, see, the grandfather had his portion, and when the grandfather died, who are the heirs? It would be Slavkot and his brothers. Let's say there were four brothers. So then we should divide it in quarters and everybody would get 25%. But there's a din in the Torah, a law in the Torah, that the Bechor is Netel Pishnayim. The eldest takes a double portion. Slavkot was the firstborn of Hefer. So therefore, when Hefer died, Slavkot and his three other brothers would each take a portion, but Slavkot would take a double portion. He died, instead of dividing them into four portions, divided in five portions. And two Slavkot would take, and the rest would take each one, because Slavkot was the firstborn. So now they said, if Slavkot had sons, so the sons would have inherited, firstly, Slavkot's portion. Secondly, one quarter of the grandfather's portion. And thirdly, a second quarter of the grandfather's portion, because Slavkot was the Bechor. And now he has no sons, but we are as good as sons, and therefore we should inherit it. So therefore, they came with three claims. And this is what is in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, which we quoted before, it states as follows. B'nei Slavkot notl gimel halokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with all three claims of theirs. The daughters of Slavkot ended up not with no portions, but with three portions in Eretz Yisrael. Benachlo. Chelek avihem shoyim yetz Mitzrayim. Firstly, the portion of their father Slavkot, because he was from those who went out of Egypt, and therefore a portion was allocated to him. All right. Chelkei imecho benoch nichse hefer. Secondly, the father's portion, which the father inherited from his father, the grandfather of the daughters, together with his brothers. Thirdly, Ushohoye Bechor Netel Shnei Halokin. Slavkot inherited from his father Hefer a double portion because he was the firstborn. So therefore that also went to them. So they ended up with three portions. Why was Meshe mistapik in all of this? What was Meshe's doubts here? There are different opinions. And later on we'll mention why Meshe didn't know these halachos. But some say, some of the Chazal say, that in the basic halachos Meshe was not in doubt. He was in doubt over this chelek bechora, over this special portion. Because there's a din that the bechora takes a double portion from his father's possessions. But that's only what his father actually has at the time of death. But what is owed to his father at the time of death, he only takes a single portion, not a double portion. And over here, when Hefer died, Eretz Yisrael was not yet in the hands of Hefer. It was owed to Hefer, but it was not in the hands of Hefer. So therefore, Slavkot could take a single portion like any other brother, but not a double portion. Or do we say that Eretz Yisrael is kibemuchsekes, that Eretz Yisrael that they were going to get later on was already considered in the hands of the Oves from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Now this, some say, is what Meshe's problem was. From all of the Sifri says, and this is now how what HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered. He said, "Kein b'nei Slavkot Devris." Yes, what the daughters of Slavkot are claiming is all right. Nosen titen lehem achuzas nachlo. So the Sifri says as follows. Give them achuzas nachlo. That's the first portion. They want their father's portion that was allocated to him because he was from those who went out of Egypt. Give it to them. B'seich achi avihem. They're asking for a second portion. What belongs to their father as a rightful inheritance together with his brothers. B'nichse hefer. In the possession of their father, the grandfather, give it to them. Va'avartos nachlas aviyem lohem, and pass the inheritance of the father to them. What is this? We already said that. That's the chelek b'chora, and the double portion. Avarto, the Gemara brings, always refers to chelek b'chora, the double portion. The Gemara brings a raya from all of this that they were dashonius for you. Not only were they intelligent, and they knew how to deal with people, they knew the right time to strike, but they were dashonius. They also knew how to learn good Gemara, as we can see from all of this. When they said Tenu lono achuza, the psikta zutraso, that's a medrash, it's called medrash lekachtov, it's also known as psikta zutraso, says when they came to the court, they said, give us our inheritance. They came lebe chazoko, the lebe chutzpe, ele min adin. Something very important. They didn't come with strong arm tactics. You know, today you have all types of ways of getting things from the courts or the governments. See? You can come with strong arm tactics. You can come with pressure groups, and lobbying groups, tobacco industries, farmers bound together, demonstrations, whatever you want. Labor chazoka. No. They said, we're not coming with strong arm tactics. We're not going to, if you turn us down, we're not going to get all of the women in the desert to strike. See? No. Labor chazoka. The labor chutzpis. And they didn't come with chutzpah. Today you got, if you don't give it to me, I'll go to the newspapers. I'll go to the newspapers, to the Sunday Times, or to the English press, and we'll fix you good. Not with chutzpah. They didn't come shouting. They said, no, we do not want anything that does not belong to us. We're coming bedin. They came with a legal claim. They say that what we are asking for is rightfully ours, and we can prove it. And these are our arguments, and they put it forth. Tenu lono achuza, lei bechazoka, velei bechatzufis, elo min hadin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, Kein beno slovcha dobres. Kein, he said. Yes, what they're saying is 100%. So the Sifri brings an eshut ches, Yofe tovu b'nei slovcha. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Yofet Tovu, their arguments are 100% right. Beautiful. Shekach kesuva parsha lefonai b'morom. He says, because this is, the Torah is written, this that we write the Torah on a parchment, that's how we write it in this world. But the Torah is not confined to a parchment. See, no more than the soul is confined to the body. There's a Torah written in the heavens. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's how it's written in the heavens, the Torah. That the sons inherit, and if there are no sons, then the daughters inherit. And they inherit the father's portion. They inherit the portion that the father inherited from his father. And they inherit, in this case, even the double portion that the father inherited from the father. Ashrei odom shahamokam meide ledvorav. The fortunate is the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will agree with his logic, his rationale. And Asidi numasa elam leimar. And also there will be a day when the nations of the world will say to Israel, how fortunate are those that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees to their words. There are questions raised. Still though, why was it that they knew and Moshe didn't know? Good, they were chachmonius, they were wise, but Moshe also was quite wise. They were darshonius, but Moshe also. What happened to Moshe? So there are the Chazals, there are various Chazals on this, and Rashi brings two. The one tells us Nisal Mahaloch Mimenu. The Medrash actually goes into length and states that there are times when sometimes a person knows Torah so well he starts to become a little haughty with it, and that angers HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It brings, for example, by David. David said, Zmiris Hoyuli, your Torah was like Zmiris. What did he mean? He says, I know your Torah like a person knows a song. That's how well I know Torah. And Kodesh Baruch Hu wasn't happy with that. And he said that because of that, one day you'll forget even what the Tinei Shel Beis Rabban, even what young children know. And from there came a whole episode that the Oren was supposed to be carried on the shoulders and not by oxen or on a cart. And David forgot that. And from there they put it on a cart and it fell, and there was the Maaseh with Uzziah and the whole business. And the same thing when Moshe told the Dayonim, all of the court judges, he said, every small thing you take care of, Bahadovar Asheik Shalahem, but if it's a difficult halacha, bring it to me and I'll take care of it. And this HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't happy with. He says, all right, you say that you can handle everything that's difficult, the other people will handle everything that's easy. There'll be a time when you will not know something, and the women will come and they will tell you the halacha. And therefore, was Nisalma Mimena halacha, this was, Moshe forgot this, and the Benos Lofkot told him this. There's another opinion that Moshe was supposed to know and he would have known, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu bedafkik withheld it from him because Megalglin Schus Alidei Zakai. These women were so good and righteous that he wanted them also to write a parsha in the Torah. And therefore, Parsha Zu Nichtav Al Yedehem. This parsha, this law came through them. The Medrash tells us also, what does it mean, Nason Titein Lohem? It says it twice. Nason Titein Lohem. Give to them. Twice. Besides the droshes we made that they received three portions. So the Medrash says, Shenotl Be'eve Yadein V'chein Be'eretz Kenan. They wanted a portion in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't want Eva Yadein, like we said. They didn't want on the other side of the Jordan. They wanted an Eretz Yisrael, an actual Eretz Yisrael. They ended up with portions on both sides. Not only did they get a portion in Eretz Yisrael, but they got a portion on the other side of the Jordan also. And that's the Nosin Titain that they took on one side of Eretz Yisrael, the Yarden, and on the other. And that's brought in Yeshua. In Yeshua, the Medrash brings in Yud Zayin, Perek Yud Zayin, Posuk Gimel, it starts to tell over the story again, that Slavka didn't have any sons, only daughters, and again the daughters came to Lozer, this was, and to Yeshua, this was after they went into Eretz Yisrael, and they said, Hashem Tziva Es Moshe, Hashem has already commanded Moshe that to give us a Nachlo together with the others. So it states where they received land, and it says that they received levad me the vayiplu chavli menashe asora levad me eretz hagilot vaaboshen Hashem ever yade. They kibanos menashe nochalu nachlo beteich bono be eretz hagilot hoyisol ibnei menashe nasorim. They inherited land on both sides of the Jordan, and the Medrash brings that when Yaakov benched, he gave a brocha to Yosef before he was dying. Yaakov, in his prophecy, foresaw this. So therefore he gave him the following bracha in Parshas Vayechi. Posuk it perik memtes posuk chov beis bein toris yosef bein toris ale oin beno soado ale shur. He says, Yosef, you are very, very beautiful, and everyone, you are beautiful to everyone that looks at you. Beno soado ale shur, the daughters went and climbed up on top of the wall. One interpretation is that when Yosef would walk down the roads of Egypt as king, all of the daughters of Egypt would climb on the walls to gaze at him. But the Medrash darshens, Benos, your daughters, your descendants who will be famous daughters, and this refers to the daughters of Tzlofkot, Tzoado Aleshur, they are going to climb over the wall. Which wall? The Jordan, the Yarden. The Jordan was called the wall because it became the wall against Moshe. Moshe was allowed to go up to the Jordan and not on the other side. And they will climb over the wall because they will inherit not only an Eivra Yarden, but they will also inherit on the other side of the Yarden. So therefore he said, Bonos, Yosef, your daughters, you will be so benched that your daughters will climb over the wall. They will inherit on the other side of the Jordan and on the Eretz Yisrael side of the Jordan. And actually the Targum, Unkelus, he refers to this. He refers to this and he says that you will have, you'll be Yisborach with three shifting, two shvotim, Yekablu Chulka, which will take two portions. And Rashi brings it. And Rashi says the reason why it's called Benos, daughters, because it's referring specifically to this of the daughters of Tzlofkot. The Gemara tells us that besides being Chachmonias and Darshonias, they were also Tzidkonias. They were also very righteous. How do we know this? This is the Gemara in Bava Basra, Kuf Yud Tes, Seif Amud Beis. Because the Gemara says that at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, end of Matis, there was a complaint by some of the Shvatim, because if you'll give to the daughters and then they get married and they'll marry someone from another tribe, well, eventually then, the son will inherit. And the son belongs to the other tribe. So we're going to lose land. So, Vayitzav Meshe, so Hashem said, Vayitzav Meshe, es b'nei Yisrael api Hashem lemor. Ze adov ha-shetziv Hashem lebnei Tzlofkot. Latev b'ineihem tiyena l'oshim. You take the best in your eyes and become wives for them. But lemishpachas matei avem tiyen l'noshim. But they should be from the same tribe, Menashe, in order that it shouldn't move from one place to the other. Now the Gemara brings that according to one opinion, they could marry anyone. They could marry anyone from any tribe they wanted. But this was an Eitz HaTovah. This was advice that Hashem was saying, that the best husbands for you will be from your own father's family, because they're very good people there. So Moshe was giving them an Eitz HaTovah. In the end we find, it states, Vatiyena makla sirtza v'chogla milka v'noa b'nei slofchot livnei dideen l'noshim. In the end it states that they all got married to their cousins. Mimishpachas, mish b'nei m'noshe, ben Yosef, for Yelanoshim. from Menashe and Yosef. So they followed that Eitzel. So it says from here we see they were tzidkonyes. That since they were told that the best shiduchim for them, of the best people, will be from their father's own family, in this particular instance, so they waited before getting married until they found someone from their father's own family. And they married their cousins. And the Gemara brings Toni Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Afilu Ktane Shebehen Leinosu Leinishas Pusas Mimem Shono. Even the youngest didn't get married under 40 years old. They waited a long time before they got married until they could make a shidduch with someone from their father's family. This is how much they wanted that, because this was the eitzah, this was the counsel that Moshe gave them from Hashem. Shoyim mitzapis lo hogin lohen. Then the Gemara says, but you waited, you're 40 years old, so it's kind of waiting a long time, and what will be with children? So the Gemara says that they were such balei emuna, they had so much trust in Hashem, balei bitochen, they knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu would take care of them and would give them children, which they did have. One final point. The Gemara asks, if we look at our Parsha, our Parsha says that the daughters of Tzlofchot, Machlo, Noah, Choglo, Milka, Vesirso. If we look the way it's written at the end of Sefer Mabidbar, where they got married, see, there it states, Machlo, Tirso, Choglo, Milka, Venoah. Changes the order. First time it's written, where they came to Moshe. So the second one is Noah, and the last one is Sirtso. Later on, it's written, when it tells us that they all got married to their cousins, so Noah is taken from second place and placed last. And Tirtso is taken from the last place and placed second. So the Gemara asked the Kasha. So two opinions. First opinion is, Lahalon monon akosuv derech chochmoson, vekan derech gduloson. The order according to birth was that Tirtso was second. Machlo, Tirtso, and then Noah was the youngest. That's the order according to birth. And when they got married, so they got married in that order. Machlo, Tirtso, Choglo, Malko, Noah. Milka, Noah. And therefore, that's how it's written there. Derech Gedulosom. So why then, in our Parsha, when they came to Meshen as Bezdin, does Noah move from last place to second place, and Tirtso moves from second place to last place? Because there, they were reckoned Derech Chochmoson. There, the Torah didn't write them in the order of their birth, but in the order of their wisdom. And Noah was the second wisest, so therefore she was moved to second place. And the Gemara says this is a raya to what we've learned, Mesai Leil Rabami, that Bi Yeshiva Halech Achar Chochma, Bi Mesiba Halech Achar Zikno. That when it comes to things that have to do with wisdom, for example, learning, or you're asking shailas, or you're in a bezdin, there you have to give honor not in accordance to age, but in accordance to chokhmah. You have a young person, but he's a Talmud Chochem, and you have an older person that's not, you must give more honor to the younger person than the older person. You give him a better seat. And therefore, when they came to Moshe's bezdin, and they were all, they knew these halachas, and they were righteous, so Tirtso moved out of second place, even though she was the second oldest, and she let the youngest, Noah, take her place because she was wiser. But if we're talking not in inyone chokhmah, not things that have to do with wisdom and Torah, But for example, Mishta, you come to a banquet, you come to a party. So how should you see to people? Now, there, Olach Achar Gidulosan, Achar Zikno, then you go after age. You seat. You don't put a younger person before an older person. Certainly, if the older person is wiser. But even if they're of equal wisdom, and even if the younger person is wiser, the mishta, when it comes to a gathering, then you give more honor to the older people before the younger people. And therefore, when it came to nesuin, to get married, that didn't have to do with wisdom. So they each gave honor to the next one. The first ones all gave honor to the oldest one, and they would not get married until the oldest one got married. See? Then the rest gave honor to the next one, and they wouldn't get married until the second of the oldest got married. And therefore, there it says, Machlo Sirtso, Choglo, Milko, and Noah. Noah got married last because she gave honor to the others. But the Gemara says this is all in one condition. This halacha of be yeshiva, you halach acher chokma, be mesiba halach acher zikna. That's who the machlik be chokma, who the machlik be zikna. But this is only not where there's just a little distinction between the two. That means when you have someone who is far wiser, a young person who's far wiser than an older person, then you give him honor when you it has to do with inyone Torah. But if he's just a little wiser than the older person, no, then you don't do. Or if you have someone who's much older than another person, even though the other person is wiser, then b'mishta, if it's a sudas reshus, or just a suda, then you give honor to the older person. That's one opinion. There's another opinion. Tanya the baby Shmuel, he says, he doesn't agree with this. He says, B'nai Slavkot Shkulai Soyu. Shnemer Vatiyeno, Avai Achas Lekulan. No, they were all of equal wisdom. And that's why the Torah changed the order, to show us that they were all equal. So therefore, there are two reasons why the Torah changed the order. One reason is because, one, the first order has to do with Chochma, and the second order has to do with Zikno, Gedulosan. The other holds, the Torah changed the order just to tell us that they were all of equal wisdom. This is a little background into this parsha of Benos Lovchod, where they say, Tenu Lono Achuza, give us an inheritance, also an Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kein ben Dovros Benos Lovchod, Nosan Titen Lehem.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.